everyone. Welcome to the next episode of the Beach Court Podcast. It's Easter Sunday. The Monterey Regional Championships just wrapped up. But you're hearing this on Thursday, so you'll have heard all about the Monterey Regional Championships this week. But we're going to give our opinions on the top eight, how it's going to impact the meta going into Seville this weekend and into Milwaukee 2 to 3 weeks after this. We're going to talk about some trivia. I got a good trivia question again for the boys this week, so I think that they will enjoy it. And then we're going to talk about That's Too Much. We're going to bring that segment back where Maddox brings up some cards that are in the meta, maybe not in the meta. We try to guess the price of those cards, and the winner will get a pack of FCBC sleeves from Maddox. So super excited to talk about that segment and bring that back. But yeah, boys, how was your Easter Sunday? Filled with lots of family, travel, church, work, anything?
So I woke up at 8 o'clock and I had Alexa and I had breakfast with my dad.
Hey, it was nice.
I went to First Watch.
Oh,
classic.
Tell me you got your American bacon.
Classic.
She did, actually. She got the
so good
Monterey bacon sandwich or something like that.
Wait,
is this a known thing? Like bacon sandwiches at First Watch?
Well, I don't know about the bacon sandwiches, but the millionaire bacon is like a known thing.
Okay.
Oh, really?
I've been, but I didn't know bacon. I mean, like, you're talking about like it's a Grand Slam special or like an all-star special.
No. It's just like it's bacon with like cayenne and syrup and like spices on it. It's very good.
Was the pig rich? What's the gist? I mean, millionaire bacon, like what, like?
There is no gist. The gist is the bacon tastes
good.
Well,
who's the millionaire, though? That's the gist.
We
That's
are, because we're eating dope
You feel
bacon.
Like it when you
okay.
eat it.
Okay. So,
I guess.
So you'll get your paycheck for the weekend. You go pull up First Watch and you're like, this is what it feels like.
Right.
All right.
So now we're a food podcast, so welcome to the...
Anyways, welcome to the food court podcast. Just kidding, we're the Beach Court Podcast, named after a stadium card that is named after Skyro Bridge.
All right, so Parker, you had some breakfast.
I did have breakfast. I had a nice 8-hour shift.
All right.
And then I went and got Arby's for, I guess, an Easter dinner with Alexa.
Are that place still open?
Yeah, two of the closest ones to me closed, but I had to sort of make a slightly longer drive, I guess.
All right, Parker, I do have a little bit of beef. So you played the Raging Bolt deck that I played to Atlanta at Locals this past week.
Yeah.
I'd have to ask why, because that deck is like terribly positioned right now.
Nobody told me it was terrible. I found out for myself that it was
terrible.
Why
did you not talk to me since? That's on you, man. You're like, hey, Max, how this Raging Bolt deck feel? I'd say, you know, I probably would never play it again given the option.
Wait, did you not listen to the Beach Court podcast last week, Parker, where we talked about?
No, I mean, he never was like, oh, this was the worst deck I ever played.
I mean, to be fair, like it's a fine deck as long as you don't play Dragon Ball. The problem is everyone's playing Dragon Ball.
Yeah, well, that's not what I lost to. But yeah, I was like, let me just play Raging Bolt to both Locals this week, and it just did not go well. It went well for my opponent that played Raging Bolt. He had literally everything. I had nothing. I played Iono before I played Sada.
Ruh-roh.
I'm a demon.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, sometimes it's pretty good if you get turn one attach.
Well, I didn't. Yeah.
You played Iono. You went Squawk into Iono and still missed Fan Rotom, probably.
So, basically, yeah. I had Nest Ball and like Stretcher, Rare Candy, like pretty much like a bunch of like pretty good stuff. And I just squawked into like a Bolt, benched it, and like passed. I was like, well, this deck's really cool.
You have a good deck.
My opponent's like, Earthen Vessel, Nest Ball, Fan Rotom, do this, play Squawk from hand, boom, like Sada hit. I'm like, okay, yeah, man, I guess so.
What else did you do this weekend? Do anything else that fun this weekend, Parker?
Saturday. I took loads to work, then just kind of chilled at home, and then I picked her up, and we went to like some kind of K-pop meetup thing, like a hotel. Yeah, I was like, it was random. She was like, let's go to it. I was like, all right, yeah, sure. And so we went to that. It was fun. It was kind of like a marketplace-ish sort of thing, a bunch of like vendors. And I guess like by the time we had gotten there, like all the like other festivities were kind of subsided. But then what do we do? Oh, and then we went to Friendship Fountain after. So
Friendship Fountain is been redone. It's very nice.
It is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They got a playground and like there's a big fenced off area where they're making something else. I don't know what it is, but
for those of you not in Jacksonville, Friendship Fountain, right, a spot right by the river, nice little park area. I used to have the office, like I used to go work in an office right near there. But it's a nice little spot.
Closest to Mosh Museum of Science and History.
Which is another spot that people who don't live in Jacksonville also don't know about.
If you don't live in Jacksonville, move to Jacksonville.
Yeah, swing by Friendship Fountain when you're on your way to Nakama Anime Cafe to play with us on Wednesday locals.
Anyways, Max, what about you? How's your week been?
Yeah, I'm talking now, so I guess I'll just keep talking. But I was tearing up with none other than Tanner Hurley's Dragapult list. I thought the 3 triple Luminous was like pretty cool and just like wanted to try that out, plus the Genesect, like being able to shut off Ace Specs was very disruptive. I was able to hit a Hydreigon and I'd like bricked for a few turns and they had like their 2 energy on a Hydreigon and I had to smack into it, but I got the Genesect down with the tool. They're like, come on, man, I have Neo Upper in hand. I'm like, like, we're safe. Like, because if I miss that, I'd probably just lose because I just goes Obsidian and, just wipes, and just like destroys my board. But so that was kind of sick. So I had fun with that, made top 8 there. And then went down to Orlando this past weekend for Easter. Just kind of spent some time with the family there. Was able to watch the Rays game on Saturday. We had a nice comeback win in extras to beat the Yankees.
Did you go to the game?
Love to see that. Just watch it from home. But nice to be able to watch it with my dad. We're both big baseball fans. And then, today was pretty simple. You know, they, my church had a brunch, had some folks over for that, and then back to Jacksonville to get that Milwaukee grind going. So,
yes, sir. Get that grind on. Yeah, but, my week, I played locals on Wednesday. I brought a very spicy kind of like idea I've been tooling with, and it was okay. But let me just go on record saying, like, the idea is good, but it needs a lot of work. Right now, I think we talked about this where everyone's just shoving Badoo and just leaving Badoo active, right? So I said the value of like Iron Bundle goes up, right? But so I said, well, what if we just snipe whatever we want to snipe on the bench while not putting energy back in our deck? Because that's the issue with Terror Box. The energy just goes away. So I played like a Cruel Arrow Dark Box, like a roaring moon build with like 2 Fezzendipities and 2 Power Glass to try and attack with Power Glass or attack with Fezzendipity as soon as possible. I went 2-2 with the deck. It's pretty good. Like it does pull off the Fez attack pretty reliably. The issue is like it's a 2 prizer that's in your active, right? It's not Radiant Greninja like it's trying to be. But it does pull off, you know, the things you're trying to do. So I think there's some tinkering with a list like this. Like I just kind of put something random together. But you could toolbox it. You could play like, because you play 4 E-Switch. So you could play Fire Energies. You could play, I played Clefairy with a Psychic for the Dragapult match. I think it's a pretty cool idea. And if someone wants to take it and go work with it, it's on my Twitter. It definitely needs some work, but Fezzendipity turn 2 is a really good attacker, especially like Dragapult and like other decks. It's worse than the like Raging Bolt and things like that. So that's where the deck kind of is a little weak. But you know, you just got to figure out how to fix those weaknesses of the deck.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, when you can chain attacks and like ignore the Badoo, right? We saw a lot of Raging Bolts playing like the Baby Bolt successfully. Yeah. I think it was even Christian Fanon who had a list or a concept of a list where it was like a triple Baby Raging Bolt and just like Crispins and Sadas and like, we're trying to get that first attack early because, like, if you can just get to a spot where you're able to, like, spawn trap that your cloaks is pretty strong. Right. And even do a thing like a, or even like the, Greninja EX with, like, Barrage, if you can, like, find a way to chain that, like, being able to just, like, ignore the Badoo and, like keep knocking out whatever your opponent's trying to set up, like, definitely strong right now. So I think, like, there is a lot of merit to, like, a deck like that could show up and just, like, exist and do well.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm interested to see where that goes. I don't know how much time I'll put into it because I'm not going to Milwaukee. So, but we'll see. Other than that, put together some baby stuff this week. went over to a friend's house, got some dad lessons, changed a diaper, kind of like hung out with him and just kind of saw what their routine is. Like, there's nothing better than, like, you know, hands-on learning from a friend who's been through it. So did that this week, and I'd say it was Easter. Went with the family, hung out with them, and you know, had a nice Sunday.
What's up?
But I tell you what I didn't do, and people were really sad about it. I wasn't in Monterey this weekend streaming the Monterey regionals.
Yeah, where's the scuffed hand cam, Eric?
Brothers.
Brent Tonneson asked for it, and he was so upset, he won the whole thing.
He won the whole thing. Yeah, so Brent was like, all right, hold my beer. I'm going to go win the whole thing.
He added us, he was like, hey, maybe like at Beach Corp Pod might provide a scuffed stream coverage. He just wanted people to know that he was going to win. So. Yeah.
All jokes aside, like, there's a lot of people that reach out, and like, it's pretty cool to know that need is there, and that, you know, what we did in Merida was awesome. And really impactful on people. But shout out to Christian Fontenot, you know, Sticks PTCG. He kind of like took over for us and did it, you know, on his Twitch stream. He streamed all of Top Cut, and then kind of gave us the updates of the decks going into Top 8 and things like that. So we do have a little bit of information from Monterey. We'll break down what went down in Mexico this weekend. As Maddox alluded to, Brent Tonneson took down the whole thing. There was approximately 1,300 Masters in Mexico, and Brent Tonneson took it down again with Gardevoir. So Gardevoir goes back-to-back in this format. Second place was our world champion, Fernando Cifuentes, with his Blissey Monkey Dory deck. So got a little bit of Easter there on Easter Sunday with the egg-type Pokemon.
The Easter Miracle Run, for sure.
Yeah, the Easter Miracle Run, so... top two decks, you know, had Monkey Dory in it, and we're abusing Monkey Dory, and I think Monkey Dory is a really strong card right now. And then rounding out top four was Dragapult Dango with Caleb Rogerson and Yurko Valencia with Terra Box. We did have a 9-person ASIM cut at 29 match points. So that's, for those of you that don't know the math, that's any number of wins, one loss, and two ties. You know, for the tournament structure, we call that X12, for those of you that haven't heard that before. So all the players that ID'd at X2 did not make it in this tournament. But what are your thoughts on the top four and the results of this tournament? Blissey came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think the Blissey deck, unfortunately at the time of recording, we don't have all the details of Fernando's deck, but we know that it was a true Blissey EX and toolbox dark type deck, right? You know, leveraging lots of Monkey Dories to deal with the Dragapult damage. Also include even like a Roaring Moon EX for like a late game like cleanup attacker. So I think like, you know, it's cool to see the shift of like an anti-meta, right? We saw like six Dragapults in cut in Atlanta, and then only down to two true Dragapults plus the Goldengos, which played a thin Dragapult line. Sure. I think they're Kale Rogerson and Grant Chen. Were they on the, yeah, they're on the same 60, but just with same one Dragapult 60. EX and a 2/2 Dragapult line. So I think a little bit more of like a response to Dragapult, right? You know, Blissey was a deck that was conventionally pretty good into Dragapult. You know, a Terra Box kind of snuck its way up there, again, maybe capitalizing on a little less respect. And then, you know, some solid Dragapults and Goldengos. You know, decks, well, I mean, either gold Dragapult decks or decks with a decent matchup in Goldengo. And also, I mean, Tyler Matthews with the little bit new rogue deck, the Joltik box deck, featuring the Joltiks from Stellar Crown to power up either your Iron Hands or your Pikachu, and even played like Moradon EX, Iron Leaves, and just a lot of Lily's Clefairy, just a bunch of like toolbox options. So I think this is like the meta responding as best as they can to Dragapult's dominance. And taking decks and, hey, Goldengo, pretty good matchup. You know, Blissey, pretty good matchup. Joltik Box, shove Iron Hands and you don't care if you're getting bedewed. You know, things like that, just like putting them in a fortunate spot to get a strong matchup. And I think really capitalize on it this weekend.
Any thoughts, Parker?
I like to see this kind of stuff. I mean, like, I don't think anyone had Blissey getting second place at this regional on their list. I mean, Terrence played it last week. I don't know if the lists are the same. I don't think they are, but like, that's the concept is there. I did see that like this the Joltik Pikachu Maridon, it like top, like Sejun Park played it in at the Korean Championship. I guess like people were just like, yo, that's dope. Let me build it. And they,
we tried to make it work early, right? Mm-hmm. I was trying something for a while there with like even like other Kovalis type Pokemon.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely good. I was a little surprised that you don't see like a Magneton line in it because you could just like put the energies right back on your Pikachu or whatever. But
I guess the thought is like your Joltik is getting KO'd, so you can never win on Magneton, right?
Yeah.
That's probably the thought process behind that.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm actually looking back real quick. So the first time I saw this list again, it kind of picked up some steam in Asia, the Joltik Box list. I was actually where I first saw was with Sajin Park, of course, a previous video game world champion. And I was looking between him and Tyler Matthews' list, very, very close lists. The one difference is from Sajin Park's list is that he actually, Tyler Matthews cut a bravery charm. Actually, no, he cut something to add in the Maractus, which was kind of the surprise inclusion, played the corner Maractus. He cut a Pokégear. Happens. So, cut consistency for a fun tech card.
What do you think the Maractus is for, specifically?
I think it's just a setup. If you go Joltik into Pikachu, and then you gotta, like, you put your energies on, kind of, I don't know.
You'd probably be able to, like, just cheese some stuff, or maybe even if you just need, like, one setup turn to go in and, like, Crispin something type of thing. It gives you a little bit of time. Like, maybe you just need to buy one turn with it.
Maybe about one
turn.
Yeah, that's what I think.
You are playing four boss, so you do have a lot of ways to strand things in the active.
And Prime Catcher.
And Prime Catcher, yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Four boss and Prime.
I do want to make a quick note on Sajin Park, right? You know, known, right, VGC World Champion. I think TCG Top 32. World, like, Pokemon Unite Top 8. He's competing at Pokemon Tekken. And actually, now he has received his invite for Pokemon Go World. So, I think he's the only player to receive a world's invite for every single like main Pokemon game. So I think maybe he's just
the
true
Pokemon
master.
We can get a Jacksonville team together and we can get the world invite for Unite, right? We can make that happen.
Or we have Richard.
That's what I'm saying. We can make that happen, right? So we can go ahead and combat this, Sajin. We can come with you, brother.
We'll be the Western Sajin Parks.
Listen, Sean from Nakama knows how to play, you know, Pokemon Go. He'll teach us everything we need to know.
Well, I know how to play. I ain't finding a 7, 12, 13 IV Stunfisk or whatever.
I know. Like for Pogo. Let's just go buy an account from someone and be like, find the person who won. Just go to the person who won Worlds and be like, hello, I would like to buy your iPhone. Deal. It's like, get all the stuff.
Wow. I know this weekend there was people going and like doing raids of like the Gigantamax and Relax. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's like 40 people to take it down.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Back in my day, I just walked outside my house or college and just like, hey, Pokemon.
Yeah. Oh, Pidgey, another one.
Thank you for tuning into our Pokemon Go
and food. That I want to note from top eight. I mean, obviously, we've known Gardevoir is like super strong, a strong deck. And so Brent Tonneson decided to play Gardevoir. Did not include the Zoroark EX that, you know, Henry Chow, you know, publicized last weekend in Atlanta. Did play, however, the Cleffa. Played a Cleffa and a Bidoof. So that way, you know, you turn one hand, is a little dead. Instead of Bidoof, you just go Cleffa. And played triple Monkey Dory. Really just consistent lists. 4 Ultra Ball, 4 Nest Ball, 4 Stretcher, 4 Iono, 4 Research. Like, 3 Charms. We're just drawing a bunch of cards and getting there.
4 Stretcher also.
Yeah, 4 Stretcher, yeah. So, really, really good deck here. You know, 3 Charms, I think the concern at Monterey that I heard from our friend Steven was that, like, there was a good amount of Goldengo decks playing a copy of Jamming Tower.
Jamming Tower, yep.
So, you know, maybe we'll see Jamming Tower. Now that Gardevoir's won 2 regionals in a row, like, that Jamming Tower is probably going to come up more and more in the meta. You know, something you should be thinking about when you're deck building, going to Savelle, or if you're going to Milwaukee in a couple of weeks, you know, think about putting the Jamming Tower in your deck, because Gardevoir is here. It's a threat, and you know, they lost refinement, but they just find a way to make it work, and Monkey Dory is a good card.
All right, time to bring back Reggie Drago V-Star. Let's go.
Yes, sir. All right. Let's see. So, rest of the top eight was Grant Chen, Dragapult, Goldango, Tyler Matthews, Joltik Hands, Eder Jarullo with Dragapult, Tanner Hurley. Again, we had him on last week, talked about Dragapult. They made a few changes to their list, and it was documented in their masterclass as well. So he played Dragapult to another top eight finish. And we did have a 9-person ASIM cut. So we had Victor Areno with Raging Bolt knocked out in 9th place. So yeah, that's the rest of the top eight. Any final thoughts before we move on to a couple other items from the tournament?
You're trolling if you didn't listen to our last episode with Tanner Hurley, because he went and did the exact same thing he did last week with Dragapult again. So, you know, check him out. Check out that video. Get a little idea into how to play Dragapult from, you know, again, one of the proven best Dragapult players in the game right now. So definitely give that a listen.
Yeah. All right. So I want to bring up, I want you guys to get your crown. Go to your little, you know, desk over there. Pick up the crown and put it on your head. You guys are now kings. You're kings for a day. And I want you to look at the Pokemon structure, and specifically related to Tyrate, because the Tyrate in Mexico was 21%. We've usually had around like 16%. 12 to 16 has been like our normal. The last Mexico regional was, I think you said 18%.
19, no.
19. This one was 21%. So really high Tyrate. The question begs is, are the Pokemon structure rules for time right now as good as they can be? And if not, what changes would you make since you're king for a day?
I don't want to pass it to you. You've seen the game through a bunch of different formats and been going through this for a while. So like, obviously right now it's a slow game, but we've seen a lot of different ways. I mean, like, what's your take here?
Yeah. Well, I think it's about as good as you can get. So like, just like another game, Yu-Gi-Oh. They changed their time rules to somewhat exploitable like method, but they added 5 minutes. I don't really think that's the answer for Pokemon, but like, I don't know. There are a lot of times where it's like, oh, it's like if I had like one more turn kind of thing, like I would have won. So like 55 minute rounds could be, but like then again, I don't know. That's another 45 minutes at least on a tournament. I mean, that's doable. I think they could do it. But, like, I don't really think there's a better answer now, at least.
Try everything.
It's hard to say, right? I mean, we've seen different formats. Yeah, I'm already thinking back to, like, you have, like, a Gardevoir versus Lost Box, right? And you just know you're in for, like, a long, grindy game. And, like, these games just often go tied just, like, based on the format. And we've had formats where it's like, okay, yeah, it's hard to avoid ties with, you know, how long these formats are. I think players find a way. I think given the game and like the complexity and the liberties that players have in terms of number of actions and time for actions, like you're always going to have a problem with like finishing games within the round, given, you know, like given how much time you have, right? I think if it moved like best of three in like 60 minutes, I don't necessarily know if that like fixes things. I think some games will naturally conclude a little faster, but you're still going to have games that are, you know, hitting time in turns, or, oh, I know I have more time, or, oh, instead of me knowing that I have to like finish game one within the first 20 minutes, I can finish within the first 30 minutes because I have a full 60. Like, I think some of these things will get like adjusted. So probably the only like really impactful thing you could do is like start to get like much pickier on like the actual action time per player, right? I mean, because probably where we see games take the longest, it's when people are mapping out a turn. It's when you're taking that first time to prize check. It's when you're trying to set up your combo. Okay, well, I gotta look. Okay, what am I trying to do here? Okay, let me look through my deck. You know, people are playing their Noctowl and then deciding what the best line to go about is. Okay, well, I can grab this and this. Okay, well, do I need to use another Noctowl? How do I need to draw? Like, and like the quickest way to fix it is to probably go and say, hey, you know, we're getting much stricter on like this 15-second rule that is technically the setup, but isn't really enforced. Now, is that good for the game? I don't really know if it is. It makes it less accessible. Probably the immediate thing you could do is make time more accessible and make it easier for players to know how much time is left in the round. Which then, you know, and I think some of the tie rules, especially, you know, I think they're one of the real limitations of Merida and Monterey is that a lot of these players, again, they're just getting regionals back for the first time in many years. They're not used to best of three formats. You know, some of them don't even know, wait, if I lose a game, if I win game one, if I lose and game two doesn't finish, then the winner of game one wins a set. Like, people don't know that.
Right.
I think if we had, like, you know, clocks available at every table and people knew the time was a little better, if that was explained in, like, the opening announcements or was part of RK9 sign up, then, like, maybe people have a little better idea of the impact of time. And then, you know, again, how they play is still how they play, but it makes people more aware. Hey, it's been, you know, 20, it's been 15 minutes and it's still 6-6. If we keep up at this pace of play, right, like, you know, we're not going to get anywhere. So, like, you know, I think it needs to be a gradual shift of just, like, information. Cause, like, that's where you and I see a change. Like, you know, like, you know, I played slow for a while just when I was learning the game. And now, okay, I've gone to enough of these regionals that I know the time will work. Okay, I have to play into these times.
Right.
It's, I think it's getting everyone else into that mindset of, you know, playing the games within time to have a conclusion where we actually see the results change.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. You know, I just talked about that information piece. Like, as we move towards, like, reporting our match results on our phone and stuff, I think what would be, like, a really, really cool feature would be, like, after you input your result, it, you know, it spit out, like, simulations. Like, hey, if you win, like, three more, you can make top 32. But if you win two and you tie one, you're, like, top 64 or top 128, right? Like if it kind of gave you those projections of, like, what you could get to, I think it'd be, like, really cool. Like, because, like, that's the issue, right? And you see it every tournament with an ID and around the last round of the tournament. They don't understand what they're doing and the impact it has to their overall tournament just because they're so new.
I mean, you've seen it at locals, right? I mean, the amount of times it's the last round of locals and says, hey, can I ID and make win store credit here? Yeah. Or am I good for cut? Or do I need to play? Like, people don't know. And they're like, ask the experts or you have to know. I'm going to go to the Swiss calculator. Parker's kind of nodding his head like he doesn't like this. So I'm curious what your take is.
Oh, no, I was just saying, like, it's like, yeah, people, like, almost every locals people come up, like, can I ID? Like, are you 3-1? Are you 4-1? Yeah, you can ID. But, like, yeah, I don't know. One thing that has been mentioned, and I don't remember if we actually mentioned it on here, was, like, chess timers.
I don't like that, though.
Like, I do in a way, because I'm oftentimes on the side of, like, I'm playing, like, one action per, like, 1 second per action, and my opponent is, like, 30, 40 seconds in action, and we tie because they can't play fast or whatever.
I can't shuffle well, right? Whatever it is, right? Yeah.
But, I mean, like, I don't know if that's fair, too, because then you got, like, effects that have a million actions, and then you have, like, Snorlax or really a deck like that where you just go draw, play supporter, Rotom, boom, it's my turn. Or, like, I don't know. I think the, like, there's no really, like, better way to enforce the 15 second action thing besides, like, having judges at, like, more tables to, like, monitor it early. But, like, I don't.
Well, I guess there's a question. We mentioned chess timers, right? Like, in a 15-minute match, should each player be entitled to 25 minutes?
Yeah, that's kind of what I think, like, would be the idea behind it or whatever number they would decide on. But,
yeah. I'm almost with the philosophy that, like, not each player, like, each player doesn't necessarily need 25 minutes. And I say that because, again, it's very action-dependent. I think that, you know, again, if my opponent's playing a deck that takes more actions, I don't necessarily think that I'm at a disadvantage, like, because of that, or I don't necessarily, like, or I don't know if I need more time for my actions because I have less actions type of thing. You know, so if it was a chess timer, right, it's like, you know, do you ever modify it where it says, like, I think it's really trying to cut out the excessive time, right? You know, to maybe play, right, maybe I'm playing Raging Bolt against someone playing, I don't know, what's the Dragapult?
Sure.
Right? So maybe they have more, like, actions, or maybe I have more actions, right? I mean, like, whatever the piece is there, like, you know, if you're a deck that gets set up faster, right? Think, like, old Maraidon, right? Like, old Maraidon versus like a
Arvin, you know, for Generator Force, you'll sell.
Pop, yeah, I mean, right. I mean, like you're playing your things quickly, and a Gardevoir opponent has to like do everything they can to like refine it and like try to muster to a thing. Like in a game like that, like I don't necessarily feel like, oh, I need my full 25 minutes of time.
Yeah.
And like, and I don't really mind that like my opponent's turns take longer than mine.
Yeah.
But I think the excessiveness is when it's like, okay, when your opponent's playing a deck that takes a lot of actions and they're taking longer times on those actions on a regular basis, like that's where we see like the pace of play really slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the chess clock in particular. I posed this question to Uncommon Energy on their like members only section or whatever. I'm pretty close to like, I don't like mind the rules that we have right now. Like, they're pretty close to good. So I wouldn't suggest, like, if I was King for today, I wouldn't suggest any like major changes, right? Because we got to be careful. We can't kill control, right? Control needs to be in, as part of the game. Yeah. So if I was King for the day, I would do, I'm going to ramble a little bit. I think it's three things. I would do three things. First, the first thing I would do is that every player, after you draw your seven cards and you have a basic, you look at six, you write down your prize cards, and you put them face down after you shuffled them. That's number one. All right, that's going to save across any given best of three, that's going to save 2, 4, 6, 8.
In theory, saves 12 minutes if everyone takes 2 minutes for
everyone
each prize check.
It takes 12 minutes, right? So that's 12 minutes right there. Number two, eliminate the plus three turns. So I think you eliminate the plus three turns. And to do that, you just say the round is 60 minutes and you do like Japan does. And you say, okay, if whoever went first, if time ends on their turn, then the other player gets one turn. That's it. And then the game's over. And then lastly, I would implement some type of like rule to get rid of ties for the most part. Because again, it's just like a lot of people don't know what ties do to them. And so because of that, you want to eliminate that, like you want to eliminate that variable from the tournament as much as possible to like make it newcomer friendly and like accessible to people. So I would say something on the lines of like, you could still keep the 1-0 victory as a thing. And, you know, ties are still possible. I don't know like specifically how this would be a thing. But basically, the only way a tie, how I see it be possible, would be an ID or after the 60 minutes plus one turn, you guys are tied on prizes. Then it's a tie. Otherwise, use top cut rules. If you're ahead on prizes in game three, you win. So those would be the three things that I would do if I was King for a day. Maybe I would do them a little more gradually. I like the prize rule. Obviously, we got to fix that. And then I would experiment with like the 60 minute plus three thing. Cause like then like that, especially for tournament structure,
60 minute
right?
without plus three.
Yeah. Cause tournament structure, you look at like, okay, we got 50 plus three, but sometimes plus three takes like 20 minutes because they're resolving something. Right. But now if it's just one more turn, I think maybe our turnover for rounds would be a little bit quicker too. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword with fixing that. So those are the kind of things, those are the ideas I've heard that I like and what I would change. But yeah, any other thoughts on that before we move on?
I know like Larkana tried for a bit the best of two format.
Right.
So where like if you win 1-0, or basically you have to win 2-0, you get three match points. But if you win one and your opponent wins one, you both get one match point.
Okay.
Kind of thing. And then okay, there's just no game three.
Interesting.
But
how long were the rounds, you know?
I think it was 45.
Okay.
40. But yeah, I know they tried that for a little and then they went back to best of three, which I do just think is better. But
you know,
I think my only context is like Alex Szymanski said he went to one of those and he was like, we don't want best of two, guys. Trust me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm maybe wrong person, but maybe I'm mistaken. But I remember there was a, you know, notable North American Pokemon player that was like, I tried it. I don't think we want this in Pokemon.
Yeah, so. I love best of three. I think it's very a skillful like thing. But again, I just want to like, I want to eliminate the fact that like some players don't know what ties do, right? Like, and they just don't know because they don't have the experience. So if we eliminate it completely, or at least mostly completely from the game, then, you know, I think that helps a little bit better. So let us know in the comments below what you think. What would you do if you were a king for a day? What changes would you suggest or make to the current timing rules of Pokemon? But let's move on to our next segment, which is our trivia segment for this week. But before we do, I need to give a quick shout out to Nakama Anime Cafe. They're here in Orange Park, Florida. We play locals there every week on Wednesday. And right now we're doing a series with Johto badges. And I currently have 5 Johto badges. And you obtain these badges.
Wait, you've gotten the Kanto badges already too?
Yeah, you're right. Kanto. I said Johto, didn't I?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're good. All right. I was like, wait, am I that behind?
I was like, whoa.
Sorry. Kanto badges. I currently have 5 badges. So once I win 3 more, I will win the ETB. But you're welcome to come on Wednesdays and try to get first or second and beat me on the badges. So the first one to get to all 8 wins an ETB. So that's currently ongoing. Come out to Nakama every Wednesday, 6:30. And try your luck at getting first or second at locals.
Parker and I will be showing up and stopping Eric from securing the ETB so we can have it ourselves. Because it's impossible to get packs these days, let's be real.
I just have to not play Raging.
True. All right, so let's move on to our trivia segment. I want to give a quick shout out to Fernando Cifuentes for his inspiration for this question today. He is our 2024 World Champion, excuse me. And he decided to bring an Easter-themed Pokemon to Monterey. He brought Blissey. It's an egg type, right? Eggs and Pokemon go together. So, according to Limitless, what is the oldest Limitless page that exists with a Blissey card included in their deck? And I will give you...
Any iteration of Blissey.
Any iteration of Blissey. I will give you 1 year each way.
Okay.
So, Limitless...
So, the truth... had a copy of Blissey Prime.
Yes, Ross.
So I'm assuming that's on Limitless.
I don't know if it is. I thought Limitless only went back to like 2016 or something.
I know they added some of the old results. So I know like for Worlds, like I think they have like I know they have like old World Championships. I think, but I don't know. I don't know when that year. I mean, would that have been what year was that with the truth?
The truth was like
2013, 14? 12
or something.
Actually, I'm sorry. It would have been 2010. Yeah, sorry. My premiere mixed up. Yeah, I mean, so like 2010. What? I mean, is there any other viable Blissey? I mean, oh, I guess one.
Blissey V.
Do we think that's in? Oh, yeah. I guess one. Do we think that's in Limitless?
There's got to be another C that I'm just completely forgetting. Maybe there's a fairy type one. There's probably something weird that I just don't remember. I know that Blissey V was second at that regional.
Well, again, it just needs to be a Limitless page, right? So it could have gotten 158th, but if it made it day 2, right? So.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But also, I mean, but. So I guess. Well, sorry. Do we not think that Ross Coffin's The Truth is in Limitless? Because I think that's your frame of like, if it is, like, then at least it needs to be then or before. But if it's not, then it's prior, right?
I feel like it's not, but I don't know. I could be wrong. I've never tried to go back that far because I just didn't think it existed.
But I don't know. It's just like it's just like iconic history that I know. So I. But I know Limitless doesn't have like everything. Okay, so if there wasn't one, say if it's not Blissey Prime, I don't know if there's a viable Blissey before then. But like if it's not then like what else could it be? So I'm like, was there anything good before Blissey V? Any like, I mean, no Blissey like GXs or other Blissey EXs? Mega Audino won Worlds, but that didn't have... We have Blissey at home.
God.
Like, I'm inclined to just believe that Robin Schulz has loaded in The Truth, because how could you not? Like that, like that's my inclination. Other than that, like it has to just I don't know any other cards before that besides Blissey V.
Yeah, no, like, let's just send The Truth, I guess.
Okay, so we'll send The Truth 2010.
2010 would be, okay, sure. So you're saying 2010.
Oh, wait, what year is the truth?
Well, it might have been 2011.
But 2010 or 2011. Well, I remember it was Primes plus X plus first Black and White. And I forget, because that's right when I started playing, but I forget what year it was. So actually, it might have been 2011 Worlds.
Yeah, because it was like Donphan Prime and how all the Outragers.
Well, exactly. I had like Outragers plus had the Entei Suicune Legend and all the shenanigans. So, yeah. All right. So 2011.
2011, locking it in?
Yep, locking it in.
2011 is not the correct year. However, the year is 2010. So
okay.
You guys are correct with the plus or minus one. So Ross, according to Limitless, is old, like with Blissey. He played Vileplume Reuniclus.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Had the Blissey in it with the Blissful Nurse of Pokepower. But what the answer I was looking for, again, you guys got it correct. Congratulations, because I gave you the 1 year grace. The oldest page is by Eric Nance in the 2010 World Championships, the Steelix deck, using the Blissey with the Nurse Call ability that once during your turn, before you attack, you can discard a card from your hand. If you do, remove two damage counters from one of your Pokemon, and you can't use more than one Nurse Call Pokepower each turn.
Wait, what year? Wait, what? Which place deck was this?
17th place World Championship 2010. Eric Nance.
Man, how do you even get there?
I just searched 2010 Worlds.
Yeah, so what I did was
I can share it if you
Blissey,
want me to.
Right?
Eric.
Yeah, you go ahead. You're sure. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You're going to do our next segment, so you can share.
Yeah, so.
Oh,
but yeah, this is way
like
back.
The filters don't go back that far.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have Blissey from, what is it, from Platinum, Nurse Call. You may discard a card from your hand if you do remove two damage counters from one of your Pokemon.
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't know this card existed, but here we are. I mean.
Yeah. Volkner's Philosophies in this deck, Life Herb, three copies of Judge.
Just a healing deck, I guess.
Yeah, Blissey Steelix Prime.
Just keep your Steelix alive, I guess.
Right. It's so funny. Like, again, like the decks that were good back in the day are like, so far from like what we see today. I mean, like, no, like, two prize Pokemon. Like, you know, I mean, you have like broken set of Pokemon like Uxie,
yeah,
bench from your hand to bench, draw until you have seven. Just like at any point in the game, just like absolutely absurd, like, setup here. Yeah, wild. What is
got the double colorless energies to set up their
philosophy? It's wild.
Yeah, so anyways, I was inspired to look at Blissey, and like, if you like, Max, if you go back to cards while you're there,
yeah,
go back to cards and like search for Blissey.
Well, that's how you found it.
Yeah, so just Blissey. Go Blissey and then press enter. And then like, so these are all like the Blissey cards, and like, so I just started from the bottom and worked backwards. Yeah.
Of course, about Blissey Prime, the one Parker and I end up on. Vileplume Reuniclus combo, also known as the truth. From Ross Cawthon, featuring the 1/1 copy of the Blissey Prime.
2011.
Yeah, I didn't know Jaywitz got fifth at Worlds with the Omega Magnezone.
Yeah, he's kind of the GOAT like that, you know?
Oh, I know he is. Oh, yeah, my Sammy Sakum's on here.
Josh Wittenkeller.
Jay Hornung.
Some old
Jeremy
names.
Jeremy Jalen, yep.
Yeah. Some names people know for sure.
Yeah, so congrats, you guys got it with the extra lifeline I gave you on top of it for it being a hard question. And let's move on to our next segment, which is That's Too Much, where Maddox is going to tell us a card, give us a list of prices, and Parker and I will say that's too much when we think he says a number that is just above the price of the card. So we're going to learn a little bit about market prices of Pokemon cards, and Max, you want to lead us in that segment?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out because I cannot swap the things to the screen that's sharing right now, so I can unshare as long as you don't mind for editing.
That's fine. Yeah, I'll fix it.
All right. So we'll get this going again. All right. Thank you, everyone. Again, this is That's Too Much. The way the segment works is I'll be sharing a couple of cards playable in the current standard format, and it'll be up to Eric and Parker to decide on which one is the price of these cards. So we did not do a coin flip beforehand, so I have this copy of Tatsugiri, this card that y'all hate. Eric, top or bottom?
Top.
It is the bottom, so Parker will be going first on the guess. Parker, you are guessing Enz Zorak EX. Again, show up in, of course, Henry Chow's winning list from Atlanta. Pretty playable card. Out of Journey Together, we're hard set to get right now. So the question is, how much does Enz Zorak EX cost? Parker, when you get to the price, it's too much. I need you to say, that's too much. All right.
Yes.
First price we're getting to is $486.
Jesus. Oh,
keep going.
$643.
Keep going.
$798.
Keep going.
$9.09.
Keep going.
$10.13.
I think that's right about where it is, but
is that too much, Parker? That's the question you have to answer.
I know. One more.
$11.59.
Man, no, that's too much.
All right. Parker's locked in $11.59. Eric, you seem a little bit shocked that the price is even
high. I thought it was like $5. Like,
all right, like, Parker's locked in $11.59. The question is that too much? I don't have the sound effects this time. But the actual retail price of Enz Zorak EX is $10.09. So $11.59. Missed it by one. You really thought about it. But
I knew it was 10 something.
You're right around 10. Again, Enz Zorak EX, $10 card. Pretty playable right now. I mean, did spike before. Is leveling out a little bit, but I think with it,
It must have went down.
Yeah, with it seeing a little bit more play here in, you know, other decks, right? We're seeing Archaladon decks with Zorak. We're seeing, any deck that can shove in a Zorak is doing it, right? We saw the 1-2 line from Henry Chow. So a card people are definitely picking up. And,
we're seeing it like in Goldango and stuff too. Like, as Lul posted the video where he likes to play in Goldango. Yeah, it's pretty interesting, dude. Look at the high sale price. Rip that one person that's bought one for $24.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it really do be like that sometimes. All right, Eric, you're next up. If you remember last time, Eric, we gave you a tricky one. We gave you Prismatic Evolution. You know, right when it was at its peak, super hard to speculate the price of.
Sure.
So this time we mixed it up, and you have Prismatic Evolution again. So, do you know the price of this still? We're a couple weeks out. Do you still know this worth that you think you would never be asked this again?
I don't know because I don't buy packs.
All right. Well, we'll see if you can figure out if that's too much or not. First off, $4.99. Is that too much?
Yeah, keep going.
$7.42.
Keep going.
$9.61.
Gotta keep going.
$10.78.
Keep going.
Is this still a $10 pack? You think it's more? Okay. $11.94.
That's too much.
Locking in $11.94. Parker, would you have stopped here? Or would you have gone a little more?
I think I would have gone like a little more.
Yeah, I considered, but my number was 11 in my head. So like once it got past 11, I was stopping.
All right. Well, Parker might have stopped at $12.85, but we did keep going a little bit more. Actual retail price, $13.54. Yeah, up not a $10 pack anymore. We're up to $13.50. So I'm stumping y'all today. A single pack of Prismatic Evolution up to $13.94. See, this is around when the last episode was, Eric. Actually, maybe it was even longer ago. I don't know, but a little one of these lower prices. But here we are up at 13. So
look how many packs have sold on there, dude.
Great. Yeah, and those are loose packs.
20,000 loose packs sold via TCG Player.
Just loose packs.
Pokemon is officially here to stay, right? I mean,
that's just the 3-month snapshot, too.
Yeah, just the 3 months. All right, no one's on the board yet, Parker. We got one more chance to hop on the board for a potential tiebreaker, but you got to jump out to a lead here, or else Eric might have a chance to steal it from you at the end. Next card is an old favorite, a playable staple, one that we saw with 2 top 8s in this most recent tournament in Monterey. We have none other than our fancy original art rare Goldango EX from Paradox Rift. So again, we have the fancy one from Prismatic Evolutions, but we're going old school. We're going for the Mean Muggin' Arms Cross Goldango from Paradox Rift, everyone's favorite art. It was a pretty pricey card for a while, has adjusted maybe a little bit.
Hey, you have those?
I have 3.
Where's the 4th? What are you doing? You're throwing.
David has to sell it to me, so tell me how much it is so I can go buy it.
All right. It's not up to you this time, Eric. It's up to Parker to tell us if that is too much. We're starting here at $22.15.
Keep going.
$24.89. Is that too much for a copy of Goldango EX from Paradox Rift? $26.78.
Keep going.
2862.
I know it's...
Eric's crying because as he's leaving these prices, like, this is what I have to pay for it now.
it's like right around $30. I know. But
whether you know or not, Parker, is that too much?
I think I'm gonna stop there. That's too much.
All right, Parker's saying 2862 is just a little bit more than it should be.
I would have gone at least one more.
Eric would have gone up to 2994.
I would have gone one more. I would have stopped 3131.
So actual retail price, $28.59, $28.62. Ooh. Parker got it. Just too much.
It dropped a little bit. Rift. That's what I thought.
For Gold Angle EX, well, currently on the market price, running $28.59. So signing one for $30 at a vendor, kind of a decent deal. But Parker was right on the money of this one.
I'm making it rain.
Card store knowledge. So Eric, it's a little bit of stress for you now. You have to get this next one to stay on the board.
It's fine,
And also, if you want a chance to win this Easter pack of FCBC sleeves, you got to lock in here, get this last one, and then try to get a tiebreaker to get a chance. So Parker's like, wait, I could use some new sleeves. So
I'm locking in. I'm locking in.
You want to see some of my Dragon Shield summit decks?
All right. Anyways, but don't get too ahead of yourself, Parker. Don't start unsleeving your deck yet. You might have to stick with those greasy sleeves if you can't win this game. So again, we're talking about the new decks, right? There's the latest new deck on the market that's been getting everyone's attention. None other than
Flareon.
The Eevee Box deck. So a copy of Flareon EX from Prismatic Evolution. What is this card going to run you, Eric? You have to tell us if that's too much.
Are you doing the SIR?
We're doing the SIR Flareon EX.
Oh, the SIR, bro.
One in the picture. It's in the picture. Anyone who's not watching on Spotify or anyone not watching on YouTube, but the Prismatic Evolution SIR 146 out of 131.
Right, I'm starting at 200.
All right. That's too much. First one, 9674.
Keep going.
110.23.
Keep going.
119.48.
Flareon's like one of the worst ones, right?
Dang.
I mean, how could you?
Flareon enjoyers, tell Eric how more I'll
use. The issue is it's playable, so that's going to drive the cost up.
Where's my Flareon plush? We got the Flareon live in person on the pod.
All right.
The goat Flareon.
Let's go one more.
We're going one more. 128.72.
That's a big jump, bro.
Hey, man. I do make the rules. It's my game. So it might be a big jump, might not be. But the question is that too much, Eric?
I'm going to go one more.
136.44.
All right. That's too much.
All right. We're locking in at 136.44. It's too much. We went all the way up. We had a 142. We had a 150. We had a 162.
Oh, it's going to be the 142. No.
Actual retail price, $142.78.
I knew it. I was like looking for one that like went up by like six, like five or six, because that's like your like trend.
Okay. He's trying to game the system. So actual retail price, Flareon EX SIR from Prismatic Evolution, $142.78. So if you're someone who wants to play out your deck,
please.
I think they're only playing two of these. So it's going to run you a little bit. So just, you know, prepare for that. But solid deck, a decent group of players played it to Monterey. I think it's a deck that is like, we're probably going to be seeing more of. I'm curious to see how I'm doing Seville, just because like decent Gold Angle matchup, decent in Dragapult. And that's kind of a good spot to be right now.
Yeah.
Hey, is it? Wait.
What?
Are you sure it's not more than that?
Hey, this is what it said as of like 2 minutes ago or whenever I checked before the thing.
Judge.
TCG player.
All right, we'll do a live check of TCG player. Make sure we're correct.
I just looked it up. It was like 300 or something like that.
Judge. On EX. Oh, actually, this is the wrong. Well, actually, wait. That's the Japanese one. Wait a second.
Judge. Man,
all the folks at home are upset because we're waiting on this.
Losing their marbles right now.
I demand a recount.
Oh, wait. What is this from? Oh, actually,
I don't know what you're looking. I was like, this car is definitely at least 250.
I was going to say, in my head, I was like 200.
Oh, wait. Did I not update this one? Ruh-ro, Raggy.
It's fine.
Eric, nice job on getting this one. Anyone curious, the actual retail price of this Flareon is $312.43. I think I had the wrong other Flareon art, so apologies there. So if you want to play this deck, you know the $300 I was telling you to set aside, actually just double that. Just straight up double that.
It's on the downward trend, too.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, geez. All right.
It's all good. I would not have got it, so just give it to Parker. He won.
All right. But for fun, we'll do the little tiebreaker.
All right.
Again, this one. So last time we did closest to the retail price, without going over, this time's going to be a little different. You need to get the closest to the actual price of this card. I'm going for a real oddball out there. So we know Badoo right now is running the format, but this is not the first printing of Badoo. This is only the third ever printing of Badoo. So today we have Badoo from Diamond Pearl 2007. What is this card worth? And the best part is you have zero context. So again, Parker, you won our flip, so you get to give the first number. Again, you don't have to go. You can go above it or you can go below it, but you need to try to guess what is the price of Badoo level 6 HP 40 with baby evolution.
Oh, it's a common
from 2007. Yeah, it's a comp. It's no, a see,
it's
no, it's an uncommon.
It's an uncommon.
Uncommon.
Let's see, uncommon. Search for a trainer. I don't remember this guy seeing a crazy amount of play.
Well, the card is 18
I guess,
years old.
Correct. But
oh, whoops.
Oh, was that the answer?
No, that was the answer from last time.
My guess is like $3.25 or something like that.
$3.25. Eric, what you got?
It's closest without going over.
Yeah, you just have to get closest.
$3.26.
So you think it's more than a $3.25 card.
Yeah.
All right. The actual retail price of this Badoo, you can get it moderately played for $270, but the retail price is $4.68. So would, believe it or not, this Badoo card, I don't know, has from Diamond and Pearl base set.
I was going to say $5 if I was like playing the actual game, but
yeah. So yeah,
if you forced me to say a number, I would have said $5.
Yeah, fair enough. $4.68. So again, if you want an old school Badoo, it's going to run you about $5 or $2.70 for moderately played. Plus $1.31 shipping. Man, these CCG player vendors.
Yeah. $4 though.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah. All right. That's gonna do it for That's Too Much. Parker's locking up the Easter pack of FCBC sleeves. You can unsleeve those funky sleeves you got there. You know, we're anti-gamer gunk here. Get some nice sleeves with some good riffle and some good
please
color.
Please don't sleeve up the Raging Bolt deck with that, Parker.
Like, oh no, I'm not. I'm actually selling the deck.
Yeah, if it was gonna pull from Milwaukee unsleeved and just boom, take it.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was a lot of fun. Thanks for leading us through that, Maddox. But that's gonna close out our episode for this week. Good luck to everybody competing in Spain this weekend in Seville. We'll look forward to the results next week as we start to prep for Milwaukee. But that's going to do it for this week's episode. Make sure you check out our recent episode with Tanner Hurley if you want to hear his interview with Dragapult. He's got back-to-back top eights. He was on the podcast and talked about Dragapult. So link should be here in the description with that. And I think it's going to do it. Hope you guys have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
See ya.